This is the Friday, January 13th, 2017 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. This week's USDA report set the market in motion on Thursday as the government said the second fewest acres of hard red wheat were planted since 1909. For the week, March wheat improved 3 cents and the nearby corn contract was unchanged. The USDA report boosted the soy complex by nearly 30 cents on Thursday. For the week, the March contract jumped 52 cents. March meal shot up 7%, or $22.60 per ton. In the softs, March cotton lowered $1.72 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, February Class 3 milk futures declined 36 cents. A reversal in the livestock sector as the February cattle contract gained 371. March feeders jumped 550, and the February lean hog contract rose $1.62. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index dropped over 1,000 points to close 1% lower. Crude oil fell $1.62 per barrel. Gold gained buyers again, rising $22.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index declined 2 points to finish the week at $399.80. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Brian Roach. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Before we get started, you can listen to our market discussion anytime by downloading our market analysis podcast on our website, iptv.org/MTOM. Brian, we want to kick this thing off taking a look at that big break in the dollar this week. What precipitated that?
Well, I think the market had traded largely a big move in equities supported by a transition in Washington, D.C. that, you know, had a lot of upside built into it, and the market largely had already traded that 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now we're seeing this break. Treasuries are also backing off, and if anything, it's probably a buying opportunity on this correction. If, you know, CEOs, large corporate buyers of high-quality debt are wanting to get in and use that money to invest in infrastructure and plant equipment, technology, etc., I think it's just a pause here, more of a break than anything.
Before we start to move higher yet again?
I would think so. I mean, I think the dollar amongst the ag commodity currencies will be, it'll be stronger. The Fed's given indications that there's more and more traction here. We saw wages tick up. So I think they're building a case for more normalized interest rate environment.
Okay.
And I think that's what we should probably plan on.
All right. Well, this break in the dollar was certainly viewed as somewhat beneficial for the wheat market. And let's talk Chicago wheat right off the top. We traded up a little bit. We're up again. We're still putting in some highs for at least the recent history. Can we find some more steam?
I don't know how much traction you're going to find in the wheat markets. I mean, obviously, the premium spring and hard red are the market leaders here. Chicago is going to be a trailer for a little while. I mean, if you look at stocks-to-use ratios, they're just, you know, upwards of 60%. These are still what I would call burdensome. So we've been, we've triggered some sell signals here in the last week. They're getting a little longer as we move to the end of this week here, using this peak in wheat rallies to sell for cash flow only. Really think there's better opportunities to sell wheat ahead.
Okay. Now, we do have a question from one of our viewers. As you mentioned, that hard red and the Minneapolis contracts, Marty in North Dakota has a question for us. Marty wants to know, he says, you wanted a question, and you bet we do, Marty. We always want questions. He says, can we quit talking about how bearish winter wheat is and talk about spring wheat? Address spring wheat point blank, please. So, that high protein, that content wheat has really found some demand. Do you expect that to continue?
I think it's, you know, it's been the market leader in all three classes of wheat. It traded up against 200-day moving average resistance and couldn't really get itself away from there until recently. And so as supplies begin to dwindle, I think the premium, we're not far. I think we're 15 cents away from $6. We probably trade $6 on that market. But we've been, we've been slowly selling for cash flow, metering it out, keeping sales small. There's still probably better sales to make ahead here. But I think on this pop from yesterday into today, we reward that rally with some small sales again and then sit back and wait.
All right. Well, let's talk about this corn market. We had a broadly favorable report come out on Thursday from the USDA. Talk us through that report's impact on both the old crop and the new crop wheat market, corn markets.
The good news from this report is that it wasn't terribly bearish. You know, so we have a small decrease in production and ethanol demand up 25 million bushels, but feed demand down 50, and I don't think that's really any surprise. But the real question, you know, I did a several meetings here this week in up northwest Iowa, and the question is what to do with old crop. And so we, you know, we had a sell signal here earlier this week that was, say, 15 cents off the recent bottom. The prior sell signal before that, say, 20 cents off the bottom. And I think these rallies for growers who need to generate cash flow and keep the grain moving, that's a good strategy for that. And I think that that's probably how you're going to have to walk all the way into the summer, where the better opportunities are probably still ahead. So
weather-related opportunities. Typical, most likely.
Typical where the funds get involved and there's a lot more traction. So I look for that to be the challenge for growers to move this old crop. And you're going to want to look at basis moves, ethanol at record levels, liquid ethanol and inventories not keeping up. So you look at ethanol and I'm seeing 10 cent moves and probably something better than that not posted. And so growers who are close to that ought to look at selling strong basis, and if they're the right, and if they're ready for it, they can come back and buy the July futures on a buy signal or on a break. And so I think you want to continue to do that on the old crop and not park it all into the mid part of the year to take advantage of something that may or may not come. But I think corn, especially on the new crop, has a lot of potential.
Okay, and that leads us right into another question we have from one of our Twitter followers. This one's from Nathan in Iowa at Neuendorp_N. He's saying, considering the strength in beans off the report, and we'll get to that in just a second, will corn move to buy acres yet this spring as you look at that December contract, or are beans more likely to soften?
That's a good question. Right now the beans have a premium over corn, you know, at like 2.7, 2.6. And I think that will probably stay that way until we get closer to looking at the weather. Right now, beans look like they're favored over corn and maybe over cotton in some areas, and certainly they're getting some interest from wheat areas. And with this report yesterday being light on wheat acres, you can see where it's easy to come up with some extra bean acres. So I think we probably look at that ratio coming closer together with corn coming up and beans probably coming down. But, you know, we've got a not-so-perfect scenario in Argentina right now, and that could continue to give us some legs in the bean market. So I don't know that anybody's going to have the right answer for that. Mm-hmm. The answer that somebody wants to hear is probably, we'll just have to see how this plays out.
So at this point, are you advising growers to make sales on new crop soybeans if they're expanding acres, or do we just sit tight?
We sold a good increment at the tail end of last year, where the indicators were all very strong for us to make those sales on old and a piece of November 17 soybeans. And I've been itching to sell a little bit more. This the catalyst out of yesterday's report, I think, is going to give us that opportunity on into the front part of this week, although we have a three-day weekend. So that could upset that if the weather does get more ideal.
Okay.
But I think it looks good to sell some beans here the front part of next week.
Okay. Both. Even though Brazil still looks like they're going to be growing a massive crop, you're still excited about the perspective for beans going forward.
I think that we've been waiting to get another increment of beans sold.
Okay.
We're going to get it next week, and we're going to want to sell some old and some new crop because of the scenario on acres and a decent yield. You know, the potential for low prices in the fall is something that I want to have a fair amount marketed before we get to the U.S. growing season. I don't want the U.S. growing season to be my whole marketing plan.
Gotcha. Dependent on a weather event.
Correct.
Up here.
Right.
Certainly.
Right.
Well, let's take a look at these livestock markets. Live cattle turned around. It looked like we were going to start moving lower at the end of last week, and we took off like a rocket ship, went limit up this week. Brian, what happened?
Well, I think you could probably look to the index funds for some of that long-sided buying that we saw. But if you look at beef and even pork, I mean, the export markets have been a very strong, even up against the strong dollar, and they've had a lot to do, I think, with this steady higher price for, 3 months? And so we've had a pretty strong move here. I'm not really ready to be selling cattle unless we're on some rallies here. Cash cattle traded, say, 117, 118 this week, so
yeah,
still decent. And if you look at the World Outlook Executive Board, they raised the high end of beef prices $6, $3 in the hogs. And so I think you want to get closer to the top side of those ranges before you start to take any risk off the table.
When you're taking risk off the table, we hit those high side of the ranges. Do you want to do it for an extended period of time, or are you comfortable just selling hand to mouth as you look out for the future of your operation?
I'd say, you know, first and second quarter,
okay,
not much further.
All right. Feeder cattle, another strong bounce there, even with the strength we saw in that corn after the report. Still have some upside on that market?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the range on those before, high 130s, low 140s.
Okay.
But there's some room to grow here. I like the livestock where we are today. Hogs probably being the weaker component to the livestock, but certainly, feeder cattle guys are finally seeing some profits, maybe $50 a head in December, maybe $100 a head in January. I mean, so there's some positives there for, what, first time in a couple years?
Yeah. Yeah, coming up on 2 years now for the cattle feeders.
Right, so I think there's still some upside, but again, sell the strength. I wouldn't be selling weakness in feeders or in the lives. I would be selling the strength.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that the lean hog market is the one that has you a little skittish here today. What is it about that market that has you nervous?
Well, it's also been on a pretty solid trend higher. It looks more exhaustive, and with futures where they are trading, say, $4, $5, $6 above the index, That's typically a wider spread than what would be normal, and that would tell me we probably have a correction coming and might just be a correction, and that's all it is. But if I were selling something, I'd probably be selling the February contract.
Okay. You wouldn't be looking to lock in too much beyond that? You still think there's some sunshine up ahead?
No, unless a producer has some packing contracts that make a lot of sense for taking risk off the table on big animal numbers. That's about the only thing I'd be looking at.
All right, Brian. And I did not get a chance earlier to ask you about your thoughts on the cotton market. We pulled back a little bit this week. We've been fairly volatile over the past couple weeks. Do we have some strength coming back in?
Well, they're going to have to fight for acres, I think, as well. If you look at the weekly chart in cotton, it's still a pretty solid trend higher. I think that cotton acres will probably increase this year. And so you have to be, as a cotton producer, and looking at how you can maybe take some risk off the table. But the net long in cotton is kind of wound up already, and we've probably already traded that number. So we could see some downside, but I think they're going to have to hold some value against beans as we head on into springtime.
Maintain that acreage as beans look like the sweetheart.
I think so.
Well, Brian Roach, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week.
Thanks, Mike.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. But Brian and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, which you can find on our website. And while you're there, check out this week's M2M podcast as we talk about how base hits can sometimes be better than home runs in the commodity markets. And join us again next week on the broadcast when we'll look at bridging the gap between rural and urban America via the tourist trail. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.